Healed, delivered, and set free. Healed, delivered, and what? Set free. And like Dara was saying, I will plead with you to please, please get engaged. A lot of people come to church. It's like you're in the midst of illusion and you wash with a cup. So why do you do that to yourself? Why do you do that to yourself? This world is the world you live by. This is the world you live by. When sickness comes, when anything comes, this is what gives you the victory. And if you do not get engaged and give it attention and on purpose determine to let it enter into you, when things are down, you are empty. And the Bible tells us that ignorance is a dangerous thing. So that's why God's people are destroyed. It's unfortunate that a lot of people come to church, and because I pastor, when there are circumstances, you talk to them, you wonder if they ever sat in that church. So everything you've been preaching, they are doing the opposite, talking the opposite. And you start like you want to carry them like a baby. And they think you are God or whatever. Maybe it's your faith that will solve their problem. And like Jesus, we say, where is your faith? You don't do yourself any good if you come to church just for coming to church's sake. You might as well stay home. But if you come here, make sure you benefit from coming here. Your life depends on distance. Our life depends on distance. Don't toy with them. Don't joke with them. We live in perilous what? Times. And it is your faith that will be your shield. You toy with building your faith. You have no shield. I can't help you. I can't help you. I'm telling you. So it will be your responsibility when you come into these things to remind yourself that you are not here for me. You are not even doing God a favor. You are doing God no favor at all. Neither are you doing Fountain of the Living World Church any favor. You are doing yourself a what? Incredible favor. If you listen, if you make notes, if you listen. But if you want to come and go and think you have the world in your pocket, enjoy yourself. I've been pastoring for a long time. I've seen things happen that shouldn't happen because people will not listen. So here we're talking about freedom. Why shouldn't you be free if you know this truth? Jesus said, you shall know the truth and what will happen. But the first thing he did, he said, you must continue in the truth. Then you will know it. You don't just know the truth. He said, no. He said, you have to continue, consistently continue. Before you know it. And so the consistency is what is required to succeed in this thing. So we're talking of freedom. Freedom. Healed, delivered, and set free. Let's say it together. And the scripture says in John chapter 8, verse 36, if the Son therefore shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. Now, you know, the beginning of freedom really is to understand, first of all, what you were set free from. And to believe that you are free from them. You need to be familiar with these things. And it's not just lip service. It's not just saying them, rattling through them as a Pentecostal mantra. That won't help either. Is to absolutely be grounded in them. So when Jesus came, he declared his mission. He wasn't here just for coming. He told us why he came. He made it clear. So in Luke chapter 4:18, he said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. I'm reading New Living Translation. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for he has anointed me to bring good news to what? To the poor, and you should know who the poor is. The poor is not even people who don't have money. The poor is not even, you know, the devil is so wicked. He has changed values and deceived the world with values. You think that millionaires are not poor? Are you kidding me? He said, I brought this good news to the poor. He didn't say to some, to the poor. You know, the devil will make the world think they are rich because they have money. And fill their head. Even people in church, they won't come to church because money is flowing. They think that that is being rich. If that is being rich, you need to hear what Jesus said about the rich fool. Being rich is having God. Being rich is what? It's nothing to compile value with having God. Any person that doesn't have God is poor. Absolutely poor. I mean, penury doesn't even describe it. The Bible says, without Christ, without hope in this world, miserable. Jesus said, I brought good news to the poor. Don't have God. Brought you good news. He sent me to proclaim that captives will be released. That the blind will also see. Now, how do you see in darkness? You don't see nothing spiritual, really, unless you have the light of the world with you, who is Jesus. You know, people think that technology makes them see the natural. No. Without Jesus, you're blind. Can't see nothing. So he said, I came to bring you light so you can see. Open your eyes so you can see. And that the oppressed will be set free. And that the time of the Lord's favor has come. That is when abundance of grace is being poured out. And Paul brought it in context again. What the Lord told him on the way to Damascus was the Lord repeated this thing. Somebody said that the Lord Jesus told him that everywhere he went, he will repeat this message. That it wasn't once, that was what he was doing. And as I was preparing this, and the Lord said to me, he said, I want you to preach this message the rest of your life. He said, I want you to tell people what I did for them. They don't know it. And Paul said, this is what God told me on my way to Damascus. Acts 26:18. To open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light. You see, the same thing Jesus said. Turn them from darkness to light and from power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. Jesus again said, I came to seek and to save. You know, we don't even understand the meaning of what he said. We say it all the time, but we don't really understand how deep that statement is and what it is. When you understand it, you will feel like crying. And my brothers and sisters, there is no other promise from God except the ones he has delivered to us through the redemption that Christ gave us. Any human being making any other promise outside of what God promised you in Christ is wasting his time. It's a liar. Any preacher promising you anything else apart from what God promised us in Christ Jesus, let him deliver it himself. There is no other promise, brethren. That's why you should know these things. There is no other promise from God to you. And man has no right to make promises to you outside of what God has promised. Brethren, I'm telling you the truth. The church has focused on character, which is good. But these promises are the things that make your character. And we leave it out. We leave it out. We have focused on character for years. Focused on sin for years. And the very thing that God did so that the glory of God be revealed through his body is not being talked about. Isn't Jesus the hope of glory? Is there any other hope of glory? So there is no other promise I'm telling you, my brethren, that you live by, except these ones that God has made, which he delivered, which he made good on, through the redemptive work on the cross. And you don't have to work for it no more. And so, since we don't have alternatives to this, isn't it your job and my job to make sure we understand these things that God has delivered to us? Part of it is freedom, which we are focusing on, that we've been saved, we've been set free. I want to find out the dictionary meaning of saved. He says it is to set free. It is what? To set free. My brother said to me, Brother, he said, Pastor, healed, delivered, and set free. Isn't it repetition? I say, yeah, God repeats things for emphasis. Every time you see God repeat something, it's for what? Emphasis. Then that word is key to what he's talking about. He wants you to understand. So, to be saved, which we talk about, salvation. Everybody talks about salvation. But what is really salvation? What does it mean to be saved? He says it is to be set free. To keep safe or rescue something from harm or danger. What is salvation? I want to find out from the English people what is salvation in their language. It's not my language. This is what they say. The same thing I say, to keep safe, to rescue someone from harm and danger. So when you talk of Jesus saved us, what you're saying in effect is that he rescued us from harm and danger. When you talk of salvation, brethren, the church is talking about salvation. What you're talking about is that he has rescued us from harm and what? Danger. And they gave this example. They said, she saved a boy from drowning. So Jesus saved us from drowning. Saved us from all destruction. That's what David said in Psalm 103. Synonyms. Words that are synonymous with that is, it says, salvation means preservation or deliverance from harm, ruin, or loss. So when we talk of salvation, that Jesus brought us salvation, we can safely say that Jesus brought us deliverance. Can somebody say amen? Jesus brought us what? Deliverance from harm, ruin, our life which we ruined, and loss. Synonymous words are preservation, consecration, means of escape. They gave one example. They said, she clung to her conviction, knowing it was her only salvation. So he said, she held on to this thing. That is her only salvation. So Jesus is our only salvation. Freedom. Everybody say freedom. Come on, say freedom. Did you notice in his telling us why he came, the word to deliver and set free was prominent there. Very, very prominent. And then the dictionary went on to say, so you must understand when you say salvation, you must know what you're talking about now. Let's not just use Pentecostal jargons that we don't know what they mean. And when you don't know the meaning of a word, how can you believe it? How can you expect it? You must be convinced what this thing is talking about. So they said, theological terms, deliverance from sin and its consequences. You see the word deliver, the word saved, is set free from sin and its consequences. Not just sin, but also its what? Consequences. Believed by Christians to be brought about by faith in Christ, and many people still don't believe it like that. The heathens wrote it. This dictionary wasn't written by the church. And then they gave other names for salvation, redemption, deliverance, saving, reclaiming. So the word save, the word salvation, the word redemption, they mean almost the same. Now, I went and found that the meaning of redemption, they said to compensate for fault or bad aspect of something. So they gave an example. A disappointing debate redeemed only by the outstanding speech. Which means the debate was bad. But after the final speech, he redeemed it. He redeemed it from being bad. It wasn't anymore bad. But it was bad. But because of the final speech, it was redeemed from being bad. So Jesus, because of his death, we were bad. We were evil. But because of his death, he redeemed. So if you remove that speech, that debate was bad. But that speech redeemed the image of that debate. It was awesome. So we were bad. So Jesus came and redeemed us. And now we are good. I didn't hear amen. He redeemed us. So he saved us, delivered us from the mess. It's our redeeming grace. Saving grace. Redeeming grace. Redemption is to do something that compensates for poor performance or behavior. They said the team redeemed themselves in the playoffs by the winning of the last game, for instance. Say the last game they won, redeemed themselves from the tournament. That last game, that saved them. They would have gone in shame. So Jesus came and saved us. We would have gone in shame. Are you understanding me? Then they talk about redemption of a person. Atone or make amends for error or evil. Jesus atoned and made amends for our error and the evils we did. They say they're synonymous with making restitution for. So Jesus has restituted for our sins. He paid for it. I came in here, this my brother. He came there and met me. I was telling me things. You know, when people tell me something, I call people to come and hear. Come and hear this one. He said, Pastor, the Lord spoke to me that I must come every Wednesday. I'm not sure anybody ever here told him that we meet on Wednesday. He said, I must come every Wednesday. I must come here every Thursday. I must come here every Sunday. Said, I was saved in this place, baptized in this place. And he said, the Lord told me to go back to where I was saved. Right? And he preached a very powerful sermon. Where are the crowd that had him? Have I lost all of them? I called you had that sermon. Where is your wife? Rapture. Has rapture taken place? Okay. He said to us, this man, he said, Pastor, I'm not good, but Jesus took my spot. He said, I'm not good, but he took my spot so that I will not be there. He said, he pulled me out, redeemed me, delivered me. And he said, he handed me authority that I can say to the devil, we are not doing this, and he's not doing it. Right? He said, I see visions sometimes. He said, I saw you, Pastor, up here. And I came here, you were pointing at me. He said, come here. He said, when I came here, the fire of God fell on me. If you look at him, he's well dressed today. Really looking different. And let me tell you, people, something new has started in his life. So We are talking of set free. Set free. Set free. The Son has set me free. Redeemed me. He said to save someone from sin. Save. Redemption. Save. Redemption. Deliver. This is English dictionary. It means deliver. It means set free. It says to gain or regain possession of something in exchange for payment. So God regained us by paying with the life of his son. They gave an example. His best suit has been redeemed from the pawnbroker. You know who is a pawnbroker? I came to this country recently. You people have been here before me. Now, am I going to teach you American English? Those of you who have been here 30-something years, I just came. Pawnbroker is people who take things for pawn. They are called brokers. They take it and hold. The day you pay for it, take it back. Am I right? So they said, you know, in Igbo culture, they used to do it. If you owe, you can't pay, they take your children and your wife. Yes. The day you pay, you redeem them. It was popular in Igbo culture. They will take your land, and if it's not enough, take your children. Am I right? Mommy, my mommy is here. Right? Igbo culture. That's what they do. Does anybody know that? Is that what they do? Huh? They take land, they take people. They take land, they take people. The day you pay, you redeem your property. So the devil took us. And Jesus, God paid with the life of his. And once he's paid, are we free? Church, come on. Are we free? Somebody said, when Jesus said that on the cross, what was the last thing he said? That the word "it is finished" that he said was English that wrote it like that. That what he said was, "It is fully paid for." That the word "finished" is English translation. That in the original Greek, that what Jesus said on the cross is, "It is now fully what? Paid for." And brethren, if it is fully paid for, why should I remain bound? Answer it. Why? Is it not that we pay lip service to the Bible? If it is really fully paid for, if somebody took my children and I paid them in full, there is no more argument. The natural thing is they are following me. There's nothing again to do. Those my children don't need to jump up, fall down, cry, pray, do 30 days fast. They don't need all of that because the thing has been fully what? Paid for. All they need to do is get up and follow me. You see what people do in church? Do you know amount of rituals? You wonder, what kind of Bible do we read? We don't believe the Bible. It's very painful. He said something. He said, "Pastor, it will break my heart if people come to this church and end up in hell." He said, "If they come here and end up," he said, "my heart will be broken." And the synonymous word with them, we're just trying to define this. So when we go into what Jesus did, you understand exactly. We're trying to break it down, make it simple, so we can understand this thing. There's no need coming to church and being ignorant. Doesn't help you. It doesn't glorify God. It gives the devil advantage. And so the synonymous word for redemption is to retrieve again. To retrieve. To what? Retrieve. To regain. To recover. To get back. To repossess. Repo. To retrieve. Now you can understand what Jesus said. Now, that's what, let's go back to that word we use all the time, but we don't know the meaning. I came to seek and to what? And to save. Sounds simple. But what Jesus was saying in the word to seek is what David actually said, and then Samuel said it. That he said, I'll go to the dung hill and pick up the poor. Jesus said, I have good news for the poor. I will pick them from the dung hill. Seeking. Jesus said, I came to seek. I need to come down. That Jesus came to seek. It's not a casual something. He didn't come to walk around and say, is there lost? Let me see this one. It is an active seeking for a treasure. You didn't get that. It's an active seeking for what? Something so important to God. So precious to God. God wants that thing found. And the thing is in a dung garbage heap. When Jesus said, I came to seek, we don't get the meaning. What is, brother, I will read the scripture for you. Is God seeking something so important that must not be lost? Must not be lost. And the thing is in a dung garbage heap. And Jesus goes to the dung garbage heap called the world that is in darkness. Comes right in there, they are searching, looking, grabs this one, out you go, bringing treasures back to God, bringing them back to God, dragging them out, bringing them out back to God, out of the dunghill called the world that lieth in darkness, a holy God came here. When Jesus, who had no sin, comes into the midst of the world, it's like going into pool. Why did he do that? That's how precious. How important. Wow. To the Father. Can somebody shout hallelujah? Thank you. Came to seek. The word seek is, I'm looking for something so precious. Precious. And Jesus said, what can a man give in exchange for what? So, he said, the thing is valueless. See why he went to the cross? Pull us out of the dunghill. The world, this world is stinking. It's a real dunghill, full of dung and poo. That's why the Son of God came. To bring us out and clean us with his blood. Wash us with his blood. Present us before the Father. That's called the love of God. First Samuel 2:8. First Samuel 2:8. He lifts the poor from the what? The dust, and the needy from the gap. He said, I came to pronounce good news to the poor. That I came to pull them out of that garbage heap called the world where they are. Brethren, when you follow the world, you're going back to garbage heap. He says, he lifts the poor from the dust and the needy from the garbage dump. He sets them among what? Princesses, placing them in seats of, what is the seat of honor? We are seated with Christ Jesus where? In heavenly places. Sets them in seat of honor. For all the earth is the Lord's, and he has set the world in order. See, the topic we're talking about is very important. That he saved us, delivered us, redeemed us from this garbage dump, the poor dump. There was something I couldn't even look at. They're talking, showing in one of these African countries. People who go and use, it's not good to even describe it here. I forget about it. David said the same thing in Psalm 113, verse 7. He raised up the poor out of the dust and lifted the needy, what? Out of the dunghill. That's what Jesus did. Brethren, understand our salvation. This is it. This is it. And so when he did that, he gave us sixfold blessings. How many? I didn't hear you. How many? Every Christian must be familiar with this. God promises you nothing outside of this. And these sixfold blessings manifested in threefold salvation that gave us when he pulled him out of the dunghill. What did he leave behind from him? Nothing. He brought him body, soul, and what? Spirit. He didn't leave his soul there. He didn't leave his body there. It is called total salvation. Jesus said, you are free indeed, saved to the uttermost. Spirit, soul, and body. Saved to the uttermost. Spirit, soul, and body. The total. Somebody shout hallelujah. He went to the dunghill and pulled him out. He didn't leave any part of him. Didn't leave any part of him. Because God created him. He brought him back to his father. God is seeking his children back. The object of his love. Thank you. Praise the Lord. So, he was delivered totally. Spirit, soul, and what? Body. Let's go through it again. Spirit, soul, and body. Let's go through it again. Spirit, soul, and body. Total. And brethren, these six things we are going to look at, if anybody gives you anything contrary to any of them, a liar, not God, not from God. God says, my promises are yea and amen. It's not yea and no. And God told us that any language of yea and no is from the devil. God can give you healing today and give you sickness tomorrow. Is God schizophrenic? He says the gifts and calling of God are without what? But I'm not taking it back from you. Even the book of James warned us. He said, let your ear be what? So that you don't fall into temptation. How can God write that? And God says, all my promises to you are yea and amen. Tomorrow, God said, no, I'm taking back some of it. And you believe that? Are you serious? Anything that is contrary to these blessings, it's not from God. You have a right to resist it. You have a right to kick it out. You have a right to say, get this out of here. It's not my portion in the Lord. And you know who brings that? It's the devil. Can we read Matthew 5:37? Matthew 5:37. Just, can you give me a King James Version? But let your communication be what? Yea, yea, what again? Nay, nay, for whatsoever is more than this, come it from who? Evil one. God does not say yesterday, no tomorrow, no. Don't put that kind of junk into God's mouth. He said, if anybody saying that is coming from the devil, not me. Make you a promise. I fulfill the promise. And I turn around and contradict the promise. Are you serious? So number one blessing we have, the sixfold blessing we are looking at. Am I communicating to you? So that you know the things that are of the devil. I'm telling you now. It's easy to know. Jesus defined his ministry and the ministry of the devil. Very simple. He said, the thief cometh to what? Let's see. To do what? And to do what? Let's go through it again. The thief cometh to what? Steal. Kill. Anything that destroys, kills. Kills. Anything that steals from you, steals your joy, your money, your whatever, it's not God. Anything that destroys, it's not God. Anything that kills, it's not God. Jesus said, my own ministry, that I came, that you have what? Life, and have it what? You don't have to go to school to know. It's easy for you to know what the devil is doing. If that thing comes to take away my joy, scatter my home, scatter my health, scatter everything, that's not God. Because God says, I put together. I don't... So number one, in those sixfold blessings, salvation from the power of sin. Salvation from the power of sin. Saved from the power of sin. I want to start from here because this is where a lot of Christians get stuck. Because they've heard about sin so much that all they think about is sin. And the enemy is so happy about it. And has kept their faith down. Made them very weak Christians. You're struggling to be holy, but you're losing every ground. Not one single battle you win. You're telling me you're pursuing holiness. I'm not supposed to be like God. I'm not supposed to be imitators of God. Come on, church. Come on, church. So the first thing is salvation from the power of sin. Can we say it together, everybody? The salvation from the power of sin that God gave us. It's not like, can you come in with me? It's not something like a standard something as such. Like if I is here and I'm here. And then, you know, God says, you know, I'm seen and God saves me from him. It's not like that. Please understand this thing. It's not like, you know, there's sin here and then God come and, you know, binds me and, all right, thank you. Let me tell you what it is. It is that his nature is what? Sin. Thank you. His nature. I'm a man. Am I not a man? Are you doubting? So this America has gotten into it. Let's go back to where we came from. Am I not a man? There is nothing I can do or you can do that will change this nature. I was born like that. Only God can do it. I want you to understand that our salvation is beyond human ability. The scripture asked the question, he said, can a leper change his what? Skin. You that are accustomed to sin, can you change your nature? Our salvation from the power of sin is that God had to come and change the human nature that is sin itself. Sinful by nature, born like that, born in iniquity. David put it right, in sin did my mother conceive me. We came into this world born sinners. You don't have to do anything. That's the way we came. And I told you that sin is native to the natural man. Sin is his nature, so he has to commit sin. You don't have to teach a man to commit sin. You don't have to. He will. Because that's his nature. Am I telling lies? He will. What you teach a man to do is to do good. You don't teach him to commit sin, he will commit sin. So, what God did is to deliver us from our nature, which only him could craft how to do it. You can't educate me out of it. There's no amount of education you give me, I stop being a man. I will still always be a man. There's no amount of education you give to a human being, he stops being a sinner. He is born that way. He's a sinner by nature. And God came along. Somebody shout hallelujah. And God came along and sent his son. And his son went to the cross. And the Bible says, when his son died, we also what? Died. So that old nature was crucified. It could not be reformed. By nature, it's sin. It couldn't be managed. It had to be killed. So what God did was, when we come to Christ,